This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
So it's me, Magilla Gorilla, Pippi Longstocking, and we're all sort of jammed in this chimney together, all stuck and getting kind of nervous, getting a little claustrophobic because, of course, we had each shown up at our, it's a little complicated, but it was my godson's first Christmas in July, and I wanted to surprise him by being my sort of Santa Man persona, and so I show up with the little red shorts and the tight red Hawaiian shirt and the little red stocking cap and the neatly trimmed beard. And I'm crawling in the chimney, and my foot touches something. It's Magilla Gorilla. He's below me. Turns out he is this child's godson as well, or godfather. And above me, oh, feet on my head. Oh, look, it's Pippi Longstocking, who's very old now and very grotesque. And I'm not enjoying this, and we can't get out, and they're starting a fire downstairs, which I don't know why they're doing that in July, but it's getting very smoky, and we're having trouble breathing. Magilla Gorilla did die. And when I do finally get out, John, I get on the roof, and I grab Rhea Perlman, and I say, "How many godparents does this kid have?" I'm talking about her, of course.
She's
I'm
on
her
the
godfather.
Roof?
No. Yeah, she's on the roof.
Okay.
Because at this point, they needed to get like a machine to get me out.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. So Rhea Perlman's
and
on
she's
the roof,
like the machine the operator.
Oh, she's operating the machine.
But she also, is one of the godparents of this kid. And I can't remember the kid's name.
Does that make
Banksy? Bonksy. Something like this.
Does that make you guys god brothers and god sisters? Do you have any relation?
My understanding was there's only supposed to be two.
One of each.
One of, yes, a parent, yeah, a
an
father
Indian
and a mother.
Abby, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But
there's only one god.
Now Brett, I usually don't want you to chime in this early. I'm sorry. Hang on. Welcome to Hollywood Handbook. And it's our guy kicking butt, dropping names, red carpet, I'm back. Always listen to you. We call showbiz. What up, what up? I'm here with John Gabris. Obviously, if you didn't listen to the last episode, go back and listen from the beginning until you catch up to that one and then listen to that one and then do this.
This is canon.
If you ever miss any, you're doing it wrong. This show's so good. We always make it so good. It's never half-baked. Unless you're talking about the movie Half Baked, which we think is so funny. The guy on the couch, if you remember.
Oh, dude, he's hilarious. That's, what's his name?
Maui Wowie.
It's Stephen Wright is the guy on the couch, right?
Maybe.
Yeah.
So, who's coming with me? Remember, he does
fuck
Jerry
you,
Maguire.
Fuck you, yeah.
So we did an episode last week where I, tried to beat John Gabris at his own game. He obviously, as part of a nefarious plot, wanted to break up me and Hayes by doing a very popular podcast with Hayes about newspaper comics. It had a really long tail on it. It's been performing very well. It's incredibly well received. And he wanted, I guess, to try to steal Hayes, so I said, well, I'm going to fix Hayes' britches. I'm the britches tailor. I'm here to get his britches fitting him now because John had made him so big he couldn't fit them anymore.
But if you had listened to last week's episode, you know all this already, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, okay, so listen to that episode, but let me just explain quickly, John, and I'm almost at the point. So We brought in Joe Wanger. We did a much better podcast episode than what John and Hayes were doing with their thing, which was honestly just sort of lackluster and drab. I don't think I'm spilling any
secrets. I didn't have a theremin or an engineer at all in my episode, so that's
right,
fair.
Right, exactly. Yeah. We've got Brett here.
And he brings the heat.
And Brett, who's the one true God?
Who?
Who's the one true God?
Well, it's a she, first of all.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I didn't say. Yeah.
You said okay, he. Cool. So.
Huh? No, I didn't.
Okay.
I said, Brett, who's the one true God?
Just answer the fucking question. If it's a woman, you know,
it's nameless. A she. Okay. Is it Alanis Morissette? Did Dogma get it right?
Wouldn't that be ironic?
Oh, snap,
dude.
Interesting fact about that song.
She's talking about Dave Coulier.
Yeah, that's right. So,
go to mid-30s white guy fact.
So,
it's a different song.
First I thought it was a really good joke, but then I was like, oh, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. So, what I was going to say is we had Joe Wangert in, and he basically made Gabrus look like a fucking sick joke, carbon copy version of himself, because he totally blew him out of the water.
Wangert made me look like a copy of myself.
Yes. He really showed that your sort of act is kind of threadbare and you're not innovating. And
it is easily replicable.
Yes. And he could do it and outdo it. And the unfortunate side effect was... Wangert embraced his role a little too enthusiastically, and he has become a berserker who is wreaking havoc on the city. He's gone rogue, and he is out Gabrusing Gabrus so hard that we're in a state of emergency and they're about to declare martial law.
That's literally why I came in here.
Mm-hmm.
It's because I got a call from my contact at Top 10 Skateboard Fails. It's a weekly show I am a talking head on.
Mm.
And Wangert's there.
Ooh, that's kind of what you do.
Yeah,
on that.
That's me. Hashtag O-O-O-O-O-O-H. Mm-hmm. That's my jam. And Wangert's over there demanding that he gets a chance in the chair to make – he keeps saying that sweet, sweet non-union money. He's like mm-hmm. – this is all shit I say.
Yeah.
And he's really fucking – you know, he's eating my lunch over there. Literally, they have my lunch over there, and he's eating it. That's 100 chicken wings.
Yeah. No, he's
my contractually obligated lunch.
He's put on a few LBs, and that's the least of our problem is him being a talking head on shows, because he's also I heard went to the zoo and was doing some pretty funny stuff there. So
he was doing a chin-up contest against an orangutan.
Against an orangutan, yeah. And how did he get in the cage? And then he punched the orangutan pretty hard. And he tried to rugby tackle him, he kept saying.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. What he was doing, he's not trained in rugby. I'm not that I'm barely trained.
Yeah.
But he doesn't know what he's doing. He's going to get himself hurt.
Or someone else.
Or more importantly, for anyone, he's going to fuck up my rep.
Yeah.
I've got a brand to maintain.
Yeah, he is saying I'm John Gabrus, and then he'll do like a big thing, or sometimes he says Garbus.
Yeah,
and he does, and then he'll do a big crazy thing. So the reason we brought John in here is at the request of the FBI to be a wolf. You got to catch a wolf or something to that effect, and we're trying to catch a wolf, so we got to be a wolf. And John Gabrus is going to invite us into his mind and try to anticipate the next step of Joe Wanger. We obviously have our man on the street, Mr. Hayes Dabbingpour, and he's going to dab and pour his way through the city and capture Joe Wanger with any luck. Hayes, are you there?
Hello.
Yes,
can you hear me?
We can.
Okay. I'm on foot, so I went to his house. Oh, God. We're on the L.A. River now.
He
let me in, and I think he's been taking this kind of synthetic hormone called Gabrazone, and he's big. He's, like, really big, and I don't mean that, like, to say anything about you, John. I don't know if that's...
Yeah, I was.
Anything, but he is like
I was going to eventually address that. The whole britches thing was just like completely figurative, right?
No. I mean, we don't have a huge amount of time to talk about that, but that was not. I could see how you could interpret it that way.
Okay. Well, Wengert's huge now. This is good for us, though.
Really big.
It limits.
He's become something. It's like a Wendigo. He calls it a Wendigabris. And he's going down the LA River now in leaps, like these big leaps.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't know.
Why would he be near the river, going. John? What would he need that's near the river?
Oh, I mean, he might have cottonmouth from a couple of epic bingers.
Oh no.
Did he rip bingers? Do you know anything?
Okay.
Did the house smell of sativa?
Can you see a gravity bong? John has always said that it's better to be sort of smoking out of a trash can if you can.
Yeah, why use good glassware when you have a cut-off 3-liter bottle of Welch's grape soda to rip one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, he is heading toward a factory in like Frogtown.
And
it has these smokestacks on the top.
Oh, shit. He's going to rip a smokestack.
Oh, no.
Someone is ripping huge poles in there.
Yeah, he's gonna rampage his way up to the top of that tower and start really fucking huffing it. You have to stop him before that. We can't afford to have Wengert die.
Oh, no. I can't be held responsible for him taking a monstrous mega rip of friggin' the chief ass fucking sativa or whatever. I cannot have him doing the big fresh Chiba rips. Please.
Well, I did shoot him. I've been shooting him a lot.
And how does he take that?
He seems to enjoy it.
Yeah, there is
I don't know if he's really enjoying it or if he's just pretending to, like, oh, I actually love that.
No, if he's really transforming from the Gabra zone, he might find a lot of pleasure in pain, and it might be erotic pleasure, so keep that in mind without getting into too much information about myself.
And you wanted to talk a little bit about 50 Shades Darker today, is that right?
Yes, I was pissed to find out that 50 Shades Darker is a sequel to 50 Shades of Grey and not 50 Shades of Black,
mm-hmm.
the Marlon Wayans comedy that I'm obsessed with.
Oh, yeah.
So I mean, I don't want to be problematic or, you know, racially insensitive here, but 50 Shades of Black, you hear 50 Shades Darker, you're not thinking gray. You're thinking black.
Not at all.
But I guess the sequel would be 50 Shades.
Okay, he's eating a bunch of ducks. He's pulling them out of the sky.
Oh, God.
Okay, can we use that?
That's slowing it down a little bit.
How far away are you from the factory? Because if it's over a quarter mile, you're going to catch up very easily. He's either going to get
winded.
Distracted. Yeah, he's probably very winded at this point. My knees hurt.
I am not close to him, but I can definitely hear him breathing.
I'm getting some, like, Elliot E.T. knee pain right now, I feel like. So he's going to be slowing down shortly. If he's eating ducks out of the sky, like, he's going to get... He's going to get tired once he gets some of that fatty meat inside of him. He's going to want to nap, or he's going to want to maybe even beat off.
Oh, yes, beating off. Talk a little bit about that, John.
It's just, you know, if you work from home, it's a habit you get, and...
It's a great release, huh?
And I would imagine if you're pumped up on Gabrazone, you're going to be looking up Power Girl cosplay or Poison Ivy cosplay and just really beating off.
So, you know, this is still a podcast episode. Obviously, we're trying to capture a wild Wengert who's gone nuts on Gabrazone. But we do, because it's a podcast, always want to talk about newspaper comics. How did Andy Capp wind up on Hot Fries?
You know, I only really know Andy Capp via Hot Fries. I learned that retroactively he was a comic.
Okay, so he's a comic, and Hayes might know more about this than me, I can admit. I know the whole thing is he's just a fucking drunk, and his wife is, like, trying to wake him up to, like, go do something, and he's like, no, fuck you, I want a drink.
Well, a lot of newspaper comics...
What I always thought was funny, as we kind of go along here, he stopped in front of a Hep C billboard with a woman on, and he is beating up.
Yeah,
but
he's going to be done fast, though. Just as a heads up, he'll be done in under a second between arm strength, grip technique, and, you know, hair trigger.
I think the fact that he is so tired is making it go because the movement is really slow.
Yeah, he's at this point he's going to be very powerful, but only for short bursts.
But of all the comic characters from the newspaper to end up on Hot Fries, why Andy?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I feel like it could be anybody. Hot Fries? Yeah. Could be Hagar, the horrible.
Oh, yeah. He would absolutely have a lot to say about hot fries. A Viking like that?
Like, he's like a food guy. I mean, like, Dagwood. He's a food guy. He eats a lot.
Dagwood's a really natural fit.
Yeah.
Well, Dagwood and Hagar, and he is moving on to but they all already have certain foods that they're identified with. Dagwood has a big sandwich.
Yeah.
Hagar has the big,
D'Agostino
the big drumstick.
Oh,
and so,
Hayes, if he...
There might be better branding opportunities for them.
If it's been 6 or 7 minutes since he ate, since Wengert ate those ducks, he's going to stop and have some serious bowel movements very soon. If he's full Gabriel, and he's going to talk about it or stop to tweet about it.
You can use those to track him, you know.
You can follow the putter.
Maybe you can help with this, Gabriel. I think he's deciding whether to stop masturbating to take a shit.
He's not going to stop. He can do both.
Okay, so he's about to double up.
You'll know he's about to shit if he puts a stack of graphic novels and a pack of baby wipes like out on a display next to him.
That must be pretty intense, huh?
What?
Just having it come out of both sides?
It's like the ultimate sneeze.
Yeah.
If you could sneeze while jerking off and mm-hmm. shitting,
and
you're
throwing
fucking,
up,
you're empty. You'll be inside out in no time.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's
so
a pretty intense goal.
Okay. He's exploding. The thing.
Back up. Do not approach now.
You can't capture him when he's in this state.
This isn't. It's slick. It's oily. It's dangerous to even walk near.
Well, I'm on the right side because in terms of ejaculate, there is not very much. There's like a really, really small amount.
Wait, no. I know that's what you're going to think based on his current genital size, but this is... he's on Gabriel's zone, he's got
frequency.
It's frequency. He's tapped out. He's amped up more than me.
So we're
because I blow huge loads, motherfucker.
No, I know that you do, John, and this is something that you've brought up a lot, not necessarily on the podcast, but just around my wife and I. But because you're doing it so much, does it never become watery?
It becomes powdery before it becomes watery.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
You've come.
This is pure powder.
he's reached powder stage. He's going to need to eat again or sleep soon. Mm. That might be your best chance to get him.
You know, we brought up the Dagwood, and I mentioned D'Agostino subs.
There's a lot of shit. There's a huge amount of shit. Anyway, go ahead. Tremendous amount of shit.
I bet. And I mentioned D'Agostino subs, which the first half of that is kind of the word Dago. And I wanted to take this moment to just formally apologize.
It's not D'Agostino subs.
To John and to the Foxfall lineup. You know, for using terms that are owned by other people. Obviously, if you didn't hear the last episode, you don't know, but John's very comfortable making racial jokes. I'm not as comfortable. It's something I admire about him. And with the success of the Mick, basically every somewhat safe racial term has been purchased by the Fox Network to name a character after. The Dago will be coming out soon.
Yeah.
I wish them all the best and all the ratings. So
I'm always rooting for network comedies. Those are my favorites.
Hang on one second. He's kind of pulling away. Ma'am, I need to use your car, please. I need to come into your car. Yeah, no way Gert has tried to out Gabriel, John Gabriel. And he's riding through the city.
Hayes, what kind of car is it? I don't give a fuck about status, but I just want to know how fast.
No, that's John Geberling. You're thinking of John Geberling.
Shit!
From Broad City, that's John Geberling.
I can't fucking escape this.
Gabriel is guy code, a fourth man out.
Like a more mainstream Mike Mitchell teller.
He's like a more ethnic Mike Mitchell. Yeah. Yes. Oh, she saw the barber show, the barber game show.
She saw Hair Jack.
Yes. Okay. Yes, she loves that. Okay.
Fuck, dude.
Okay, we're going.
I was told no one saw that.
Santa's out of the barn.
That might be a good way to trap Wengert, is just to offer him like an easy paycheck with a truly embarrassing gig attached to it. If he's fully on Gaberzone, all he can think about is not having to be a waiter or improv teacher again.
Hayes, we know you're not going to be able to capture him through brute strength. We know that the shooting him hasn't worked. Have you approached him with any kind of
like
non-union third tier cable or possibly website show?
Yeah, is there like he can do branded content for CISO? Like maybe I'm sure they're giving CISO development deals away.
Bazooka Joe Wengert. I just thought of that.
Wait, I'm just listening to what. So when he got in his car, it looks like he went to Headgum. He drove to Headgum.
He went to Headgum Studio. Oh, he thinks he's got to record. He's fully.
No, he's talking to Jake and Amir. It sounds like he's talking about taking his show and just doing a Patreon of it because he has a built-in fan base. And he records from home anyway. He has his own studio set up.
Oh, the old Horatio maneuver.
It's like a pretty good idea.
Oh, wow. So he's going to really sever ties with Headgum because they're not providing him with anything material. I mean, they're doing ad sales, but he'd make more money just having his fan base pledge the money.
But Wengert doesn't have a Headgum podcast. Is he removing my podcast from there? Does he have that
talking
power?
About removing High and Mighty, but I think this is actually, he's got them over a barrel. I think this is actually working out pretty great for you.
At worst, would just be able to renegotiate for a larger share of the ad sales.
Yeah, I count on that $140 a month. He better not fuck me out of that. I need that $140 $10.99 a month, dude.
He's setting up a Patreon. And they're saying he could get like maybe $15,000 a month.
Jesus Christ. Even fucking Wengert hopped up on Gaberzone is better off than I am. This is infuriating.
It may have improved his like business skills a little bit.
That's Wengert. That's residual Wengert in there being an intelligent person.
Oh, okay.
It has to be because I've never made a sound business decision in my life. Ask my lawyer.
Which lawyer do you want to ask? Lev Ginsberg?
The big guy, please. LG, baby.
So maybe there's still a little Wengert that I could try and communicate with.
That might be.
I can get a little bit closer.
Maybe throw him, like, leave out a few mix CDs, and maybe you can make a. Because the thing about Gabe, if he's juiced up, he's heading towards Gabrus, you got to find the human element of him. Because there is not. I don't have that. I'm all lizard brain.
Lizard braids, we love that.
Talking about that stuff. And there's something about being a comedian that I think almost makes you have even a different lizard brain than the other lizards. Only a comic would think of some of the messed up stuff that we do. I mean, have you ever made a joke, Gabrus, at like a really inappropriate time?
Yes.
Yeah, you have.
I just can't help it. Because for me, it's like who I am. I'm comedy. You know what I mean? You say something, I'm spinning the wheel of fucking references and something's coming out.
It's like a brain disease. Let me ask you another question.
It's like a brain
question.
Disease, but it's like my superpower.
Oh. Let me ask you another question. Pogo, what was he?
Was he the duck?
Like a hedgehoggy thing?
Oh, the hedgehoggy.
He's a possum. He's a possum. He's a possum. He's a possum. I'm trying to conserve my breath a little bit here, but he's not a duck.
If you need to get ahead of Wengert, you might want to try to go by a gym, like a local, like old school gym, but hang out at the protein shake fridge, not anywhere near any of the cardio equipment or anything like that.
Gasoline alley. Okay. Did that scare you? Gasoline Alley, I remember just being like, I'm not sleeping a wink tonight. I just read a really scary Gasoline Alley.
Were they scary? Guys, I think you overestimate how much I like newspaper comics.
Non sequitur. Understatement much?
That was meta.
Well, you chose it. I gave you so many options.
Yeah, if I read the list out loud of options you gave me, it would paint you as a very white male.
I mean, we could have gone back and forth. We didn't have to. I didn't mean that to be the end of the discussion. But I am trying to conserve my breath. This just seems like an insane thing for you to say.
Well, I'd like to apologize also, I guess, for some of the other comments made about Wengert being more like you by saying he should do a big brap, like belch noise, or just that his bodily functions should be seemingly out of his control, or if they are in his control, then he's very rude.
Right. It could be a little bit of both. It could be a little out of control, but a lack of caring about being rude, which is sort of like the sweet spot that I run down.
Yeah. So I didn't mean to imply anything about you, you know, that you're going to be mad at me about.
No, I'm on probiotics now as of listening to that episode. Lev Ginsberg sent that to me and said, let me know if you want to take action.
So that's been a positive change.
Yeah, so I've been using – so I, upon hearing that, I didn't realize, maybe because of my rudeness, that I'm sort of upfront about pissing and shitting and coming and burping and farting and throwing up and picking your nose and fuck, you know,
sneezing, like earwax stuff.
Yeah, like, you know, smelling earwax.
Beard trimmings, pubes.
I didn't realize how upfront I was about, you know, the gray in my
butt
bush.
Butt sauce or whatever.
Yeah, that's butt like mud. Butt mud's the big one. Duck butter, truffle butter. Like, these are all the, butt.
Yeah, pate, pussy juice. Yeah.
Quim. These are all things that I'm always talking about, and I didn't know.
Dick cheese.
I don't know if you mentioned this. I couldn't really hear, but the Wenda Gabris wants to remind you that you talk about eating ass a lot.
Eating ass, tossing salad.
Yeah, that's all. I didn't realize how rude it was for me to be so upfront about, you know, that the male G-spot is real and like a shower finger doesn't count as homosexuality and stuff like that. I didn't realize.
He's not placing any judgment on it. He's just pointing it out.
Okay.
It's part of the list.
He's calling response a little bit here. Yeah.
We have a second to sit down because we're at the Natural History Museum. And he's chewing on a big dinosaur bone.
Oh, wow. Yeah, from the brontosaurus ribs.
Fred Flintstone is my goal body type, to be honest. So when you said that, it kind of like woke me up a little bit too, where I was like, Fred Flintstone, like a lot of people are like, you know, what about guys like Chris Pratt? That could be you. And I'm like, I don't know. But Fred Flintstone seems more, you know, I'm a little caveman-esque. I hate wearing shoes. I think it works for me.
Yeah, that could work out really well. What are you going to do now that Wengert has shut down High and Mighty and seems to be taking all your gigs? Yeah. Do you have a backup plan? Is there something you always wanted to do, make wicker furniture or something like that?
I might go down to San Diego and become a lifeguard.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's just like an old dream of mine. I was a lifeguard on Hayes. Call an airline and just make sure he's not trying to book a flight into Ronkonkoma, the only Long Island-based airport, okay? That might be something to keep in mind. If he's full Gabriel zone, he's going to want to go back to Long Island and
he's going to return to the motherland.
Yeah, he's going to head right to my hero on Jerusalem Avenue in North Belmore, okay? He's going to be ordering a chicken club. Hold the tomato, add cheese. Just lay the trap. Anthony behind the counter will know it's not me, even though I haven't lived there in over a decade.
I did want to talk a little bit about newspaper comics.
I just want to say I'm checking the Patreon. It's like, it's up to 21,000 a month.
And the fact,
serious?
And the fact that you, you know, had that really great performing episode with Hayes, and it's almost as if I haven't done High and Mighty, but I have done 15 of them or something.
You have.
They're just only about shit people don't want to listen to.
Poker, Banshee, Bosch.
And since I did have that poker one and maybe it just wasn't immediately accessible, but people have gone and read up on it a little bit, let's talk about bet sizing.
Oh, you want to follow up to your episode about poker?
Yeah, sure. Well, I know
now that we don't have Dirkus here kind of like diluting it a little
bit. Yeah, because he really wanted to talk about the fun stuff of poker, but I just want to talk about sort of some of the math of it in a way that could be alienating.
That's
maybe
a classic Sean and Dom split. He's more of the heart, you're more of the brain.
So, you know, back in the 90s, I think it was pretty traditional for people to do a 3X big blind bet. as their standard incoming raise. But what I started to realize around that time was that you could go 2.5x and steal just as many blinds, but you were getting a better value and a better price, and you'd see a lot more hands for less money, which is always to your advantage. What I would say is with the ultra aggression of some of the new players, that idea of defending your blind against a wider range of incoming raises has become popularized to the extent that if you do want to – go ahead.
I have a little update.
Sure, yeah. What's the Wendy Gapers doing?
So I jumped in the back pocket of the Wendy Gapers' bathing suit. He's wearing a bathing suit even though it's January. And we are in Long Island now. We got to Long Island in like 3 long strides. He's gotten so big.
He feels no cold.
No. It is Long Island. It is more of like, I was surprised. Like, it seems like the background he's seeking out here is more of like a, east, Hamptonsy, like Gatsby-esque Long Island, than like the blue collar thing that I think Gabrus has always described. I mean, I think that like I don't know if Gabrus has always been honest. I think he was actually like really like high society in Long Island.
Now, you guys said a lot of shit last week and a lot of shit this week, and I've been fucking cool from the get-go. I just want to play along. I want people to listen to my podcast. But now I don't have a podcast, and now you're fucking telling me I'm not blue-collar Hayes? Hayes Davenport is dealing out who's fucking blue-collar and who's not?
I'm just telling you that now that the Wendy Gapers is home, he is not doing the accent anymore.
What?
Or he has a different accent.
You're not like saying he's attached to...
He kind of sounds like Katharine Hepburn.
Oh, no. Does he have a long cigarette holder?
William F. Buckley.
Elbow,
that's what I'd say.
Does he have like elbow-length white gloves on?
Yeah, he's wearing a sailing jacket.
You're not saying that I just really lean into the Long Island stuff to differentiate myself from other fat bearded comedians in the comedy scene. You're not accusing me of that by any chance.
Wait,
are
there other comedians who are upper middle class white guys, but they want to sort of play it down? Like they're maybe lower middle class white guys?
Don't tell. I'm not. That's not
I
me.
Don't want to hear that kind of stuff. I want to know that they got college paid for, but pulled themselves up by their bootstraps.
But had a presidential scholarship, or else your parents wouldn't have let you gone to a private university.
Yeah, yeah, that could
real
be really
interesting. Real blue collar.
Yeah, the real salt of the earth, you know, like the rust belt.
Your mom's in a union, your dad's in a union, and you're in two, SAG-AFTRA and WGA.
Mm-hmm.
Just a real blue collar union grinding family.
Hayes? Are
yeah,
you okay?
Hi. He's on the lake. He's taking the family skiff around around the lake for a beat.
Oh,
I've got
no!
Box.
He's
I've got
that sounds box so here. Nice.
Man, it's so weird. It's an island, and he's hitting the lake. Lake Ronkonkoma is so small. Is it my family skiff? Because we keep that down at Woodcliff Canal, the Nautical Mile, Freeport. South Shore, Nassau?
I don't know the geography. This isn't where I'm not from here.
No, Hayes, you're from the real streets, huh?
Yeah, I'm from Boston.
Man, I'm telling you, I wish I was from Boston. That would give me something to lean into out here in Hollywood that I could really pop off with, you know? I could do Wicked Fucking
yeah.
Queer at Del Close Marathon.
Oh, yeah. That would be a great show for you. What's that, 3 a.m.?
Yeah, 3 a.m. with some of my favorite improvisers.
Yeah, that could be good. It would be really funny.
Hollywood Handbook.
I guess what else could
okay,
you do if you were from Boston?
He's coming back to shore. Is there anything, like, just, like, something I could say to him that would, like, I don't know, calm him down or... maybe get him to throw up. I mean, if he's got all this Gabrazone in his system,
tell him you're
something that would make him.
The only thing that will slow him down is tell him you're ordering food. Ask him what he wants. That might get him to. Okay. That always humanizes me is when we start speaking about meals. I could be mid. Okay, I could be mid diarrhea masturbation fest. But if someone says I'm hitting Postmates, what do you want from El Pollo Loco? I'm in. You know.
Okay, he's grabbing my phone. It seems like he has like a. I was doing it too slow. I think in his mind.
Yeah, he has almost if the Gaper Zone is fully affecting him, he has almost no computer skills except for like Postmates and you know like weed maps.
Mm-hmm. And like okay. And like tweeting like I just shit on my dick or whatever. So like,
but thanks for the like.
My retweet's broken. So what I was going to say is you might want to do almost a 4x multiple if you're playing against one of these guys who's decided to now defend his blinds in like a king 4 off or a king 5 where they're just saying, oh, I've got a big card. And they're willing to do that against some of the smaller raises knowing that people are frankly raising looser because they're getting more value. They're getting a better price. Now, how do you feel about...
Okay. Wait. He just got a phone call. I think we're going back to L.A. maybe. I think there's an audition to play a tow truck driver on one of those fake True TV, like reality TV shows.
Oh, shit. That's a good day rate. Those are good.
He's very excited about that.
Those are good. You can have Lev negotiate that his face is blurred out too, so it could be like more hidden camera and not really step on the other stuff he's got going on.
Hey, you know what? Yes. Hey, you, Gabrus, what the thing you just said, that sounds like me when I got asked to do a little cameo in Kangaroo Jack. That's a good day rate. And even
he's
though we're trying
that.
To catch
he's
a maniac,
that. The way that Gabrus is liking that.
Even though we're trying to catch a maniac who's destroying the country at this point, we can still have fun if when somebody writes a great joke like that.
I mean, that's the thing. Guys like us, we're writing as we speak constantly. We could retroactively print out a conversation, and it'd be better than half the sketches
you
see.
Oh, it would be so good. Yeah. Sometimes I read back through my email chains or my G-chats, and I go, someone should publish this. I should be saving it, and I should just have a chain of emails with all the other comedians that I'm friends with, and that would just be like so funny, and they could save it, and it could be a book someday of like all the funniest guys knew each other and they were on these emails together. And that's how I think about my own interactions with people who I'm sort of friends with, but really I'm like cataloging it as like I must be important and I have to be right or else what the fuck am I doing?
Like, I'm not gonna write something of my own, but I have no qualms about editing down a bit thread email into a novel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that could be really good, and I want that all saved for posterity.
John, I'll just jump in because I totally agree with you. I mean, some people, you know, they might think that if they were to look at, like, the text chain between you and me, for example, it would just be you taking screenshots of your FanDuel roster for that day and sending to me just, like, one screenshot after another. But it's not that. It's just jokes.
It's screenshots of people's tweets.
Mm-hmm.
No, none of that. Never screenshots of tweets that have made you mad. It's just the purest, like, comedy. It's just, like, pure joke, you know?
It's just good writing, and it's funny communication between two of the finest minds in comedy.
Well, that's your
sometimes three.
That's your guy's rule, right? If it's really funny, you text to Hayes. If it's kind of funny, you tweet it. But, like, you save the good stuff.
The best stuff I come up with always goes to Hayes because it's, like, it's not for the public. They wouldn't appreciate it. Some of them wouldn't even get it.
You want it to land on comedically trained ears as well. Mm-hmm.
And
you're
that's
threading needles that people don't even see the eye of.
Yes, and that's how you hone your skills the greatest is you just keep folding the sword. I don't know if you're familiar with the Japanese sword-making technique where you heat
fold
the metal
the
and fold
itself.
The steel upon the weakest points until finally the entire sheet. Blade.
Yeah.
Is strong.
And the stuff you'll send me, Sean, it's never, you'll send me tweets being like, is this good? And it's never stuff that's like, that if you tweeted it would be like hugely devastating for the show and make us like actual enemies and like dig us into a hole that we'd never be able to get out of. It's always, you know, it's like,
well, because
always stuff that would be good for the show.
Well, because I come from a place of love. I think all the best comedy comes from love. If anybody ever tells you, you know, that you can't make a comedy about people who love each other, and then they're crazy. All the best comedy is warmth and kindness. And so I'm always approaching it that way from, like, the sort of pure light that's inside me. I think that's the gift I've been given. And no, the tweets that I send you are usually like, should I tweet this nice thing about this other person I think is funny? Or should I perhaps shine a light on the good work this person's doing? And a lot of times you'll say, not yet, but soon, Sean.
Yeah, wait till they really earn it, because you tend to have kind of a hair trigger of that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, you're a tastemaker.
You know.
You're a tastemaker.
I'm an influencer. Yeah. I am. I mean, that's just the bottom line.
You see something and you're like, this looks like branded content to most people, but to me, this is going to blow up the charts. This is art.
And I think people would really love to see these text exchanges, and of course they won't until it becomes a book someday. But, you know, of course I'm sending not FanDuel lineups and not mean tweets. And what Hayes is doing back is never answering one question from 2 days ago, but ignoring the past three questions, or texting me blind with like a half sentence. And then when I immediately respond, he's just gone. That's just not the way it is. The sort of flow of conversation is, it feels like you're in the room with two funny, smart guys who have a great connection.
I just want to update where we're at with the Wendy Cabrera, because that is what we're talking about. So he's at home. We're back in LA.
He's at my house.
Yeah, it didn't go great. Audition. He seems to think it went well, but I do not think it's a go.
Did he try to just go by on his charm and really not look at the script because I was playing Heroes of the Storm for like 9 straight hours on Blizzard?
I think he was assuming that they knew him better than they did. I think he was like kind of told that.
Did it seem like he was told that, like, they specifically requested him, and then when he showed up, yeah, it was clear that there was no one in the room who had ever seen him before?
Yes, I don't think that was the case.
Seems like so, it wouldn't be to his rep's advantage to say that they had asked for him when there was no one there who actually knew him. You wonder why they did that. Maybe it was so he'd be confident, but then he was too confident?
Too confident. That's the way to bring down the Wendigabris, because I am unnecessarily, some would say unwieldy, confident. And that might be what the thing that will eventually take him down.
He's drinking a lot of, like, Whole Foods beer.
Yeah.
Like, I think this is how he's kind of moved on a little bit from some of his past. You know, it's like nice beer. It's like, you know, a little,
yeah,
more.
It's a session. It's a session IPA, like a low, yeah, ABV. Yeah.
Is he talking about how he only does it 3 days a week now? Like, that's a rule for him? And,
yeah,
then, and then on the other,
I mean,
days, he just smokes weed?
Does he have a complicated reward system in which as you get like deeper and deeper into it, you realize he's just addicted to several different things?
Yeah, does it almost seem like if you have to make that many rules about it, maybe you just shouldn't be that closely involved with it at all?
I get the feeling that instead of like 6 beers every day, it's become like 20 beers every like other day.
Yeah, that sounds about right. You just jam it all to Thursday through Sunday.
So he's trying to make it to the couch. I don't know if he's going to get there. Yeah, he's down. Okay, he is down.
And then be careful, because one thing I've seen him do is if you get too close, he'll tell you a truth about yourself. And you'll sort of laugh, and other people will laugh at the time. But then later you'll think about it and go like, is that really what I'm like?
Because he's laughing. He's smiling, you know.
He's smiling. You go, I guess this, yeah, is funny. But then later you're like, or is it just kind of mean?
Yeah. Does it have something to do with the fact that he thinks he's such a monster himself that it's okay to say stuff like that to other people?
A monsterpreneur.
Ooh. See, that's the kind of stuff we have. You got to text Hayes that.
Oh, yeah. That will start a real long thread with Hayes that will surely be a two-way street.
If he's on the couch, open up Netflix, search action adventure, and just put on any movie that features someone in tactical gear as the thumbnail. Anyone with a helmet or a vest or goggles.
Triple Nine.
Oh, Triple Nine. I've seen Triple Nine. I literally, it's the only thing that comforts him is he just puts on an action movie. Now I'm clearly...
And is he going to be watching it pretending that he took another path where he like was military trained or something like that?
Yeah, there's a part of it where he believes himself that he could have been easily military trained and actually his improv skills would have helped him. But another thing is that action movie... He used to watch action movies with his dad and that's like a weird thing that he's like latched onto. So... If you want to just lay a Mark Bavaro jersey out on the coffee table and then put on some sort of knockoff SEAL Team 6 type movie, that might get him to slow down enough for you to trank him up.
Okay. Well,
Wait, one last thing. If you're trying to trank him up, he has an insane tolerance and he always brings it up. He's gonna keep talking about how he really can't get fucked up just from years of trying.
Oh, and if Wengert's still
talking about that, but he is clearly drunk.
If Wengert's still in there in some way,
yeah,
maybe ask him if he has any pitches for what someone adorkable would do. You might be able to summon him out from inside the Wendigabris. Yeah.
If he even registers adorkable as a word, Wengert's still alive in there. But if he dances around saying the N-word, he's gone full Gabers.
Yeah, in that case, we do have to put him down.
It looks like he's tried to say the N-word without being really provoked. I haven't even provoked him in any way.
Yeah,
it's
because he did a couple of seasons of Wild Now. He feels emboldened. He thinks he could do stuff like that.
Mm-hmm, he has what John Mayer described as a hood pass at one point.
It's interesting.
I don't think he would have said that himself, but maybe.
Hayes, what do you have on?
Just like a windbreaker and no shirt.
Yeah, that's because it sounds like you're moving pretty fast. I said he must have something cutting the wind, but I know how you hate to wear anything on top.
Well, because that's drag. That's more drag.
Mm-hmm. And then downstairs, what are we working with?
Just like those like really like light mesh shorts. My toes shoes.
Your Vibrams?
The shoes that like because it's like how cavemen
the ones that Tina Fey in the one commercial for the credit card looks at him and is like, who would wear these? And then she's like, I'll take two because she like doesn't give a fuck. She got a bunch of money.
Buying this, the one that celebrates just that she has unlimited spending money.
Yeah,
and it's in a commercial
like,
where you know she's being paid $250,000.
It's as if you had this credit card, then you would have made as much money as someone who's had like a lot of success in an industry that overpays the people at the very top of it.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Why doesn't Thomas Middleditch get to be himself in those commercials?
And it's just a great question. It's a great, great question. What is going on for him? Also, when he grabs that, like, he's like, it's Franny Fred or whatever. Like, I have three of these. And it's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like... He's like, it's a collectible. And she's like, it's for my dog to eat. And so it's like, what are we supposed to feel about either one of these characters? This guy like collects a weird doll that no one's ever heard of. She feeds the doll to her dog and it's a collector's item, but you can find it at the fucking grocery store where a celebrity
I think he was surprised that they used that. I think he gave them a lot of stuff that he thought was better.
Yeah, that's probably right. And I bet I would think it was better.
I'm sure there's people watching that commercial who know who Thomas is and don't know who Tina Fey is.
Well, that's demographics. Yeah. And I'm always trying to split demographics. That's
16-year-old boys with HBO.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to know Thomas.
I want the biggest slice of the pie, baby. I want to hit as many of these demos as I can.
You're the guy who came up with the quadrants 5 through 8, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because prior to me, there was only the 4 quadrants. And I said, I think there's 4 more of these things. We just can't see them yet. You know the part in Searching for Bobby Fischer? And this is for some of my older fans. You know the part in Searching for my intellectual ones who like chess? Where he goes, he's already won. It's 12 moves away. But he can see it. I'm like that with quadrants.
Very easy to follow.
I've already accessed all these demos.
People that don't even realize they're in a demo are being accessed by Sean on a daily basis.
Oh yeah, and I use a lot of coded language.
Yeah, you're the one who explained to me about Vietnamese scooters.
Yeah.
Vietnamese guys who ride scooters is a demographic in and of itself.
Mm-hmm. And that's NLP. I mean, that whole time I was controlling you, that's neurolinguistic programming. If you remember, I kept saying like, and when they gas up their scooter, they have to penetrate the tank with the nozzle. And the fact that I was able to just casually work in the word penetrate got you thinking about sex.
Right. And then that's why I remembered it. Because now whenever I think of a Vietnamese guy on a scooter, I get a tingling
you
in
get
my balls.
Fucking yeah. horned out. Yeah,
yeah, I get real revved up.
Yeah. And we all feel a little horned out right now. And that's the effect I'm looking for with my podcast. That Hayes does too.
Hayes, if you come in, I just realized something. If you become like in a tight bind with this Wendigabrus, something you could bring up that really hurts him is that he is only half Italian. Like he does kind of use it identity wise because he's like a big guy with like, but you can really take him down by saying like, oh, you're. Why isn't your last name an Italian name, you know? You
can. I mean, I got the Mark Bavaro jersey out. He's watching the movie. It seems like he's going back in time a little bit. I don't think this is the time to bring that up.
Okay. If he's soothed, let the beast slumber.
What I've also tried to do is I put on, as Sean said, an LP, and that gave me the idea to put on a Guided by Voices LP, and that is sort of bringing out Wengert a little bit more. There's a lot of vinyl. It's Wengert's house, but there's a lot of like.
What is it? 90s, B-1000?
It's B-1000, yeah.
Ah, Pollock's masterpiece.
He's listening to the Goldheart Mountaintop Queen directory, it's getting him. It's sad and excited.
That could pull Wengert out. That could pull Joe out of there.
Well, in the meantime, while we wait to see if that finally does work for sure, you got anything coming up, John? And don't be afraid to mix in newspaper comics with your answer.
Well, I'm just always using my imagination like Calvin.
When I
read Calvin Hobbes, I put myself in the mind of Calvin.
Calvin and Hobbes, yeah. Let's go exploring, old buddy.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
If I were to get one tattoo besides the outline of Long Island on the inside of my left bicep, I think I would get Calvin.
Yeah.
Pissing on the New England Patriots logo.
Mm-hmm.
But, because that's like two things for me.
Yeah. That could be really good. That could be a great tattoo that shows.
You could theoretically have him pissing on your own dick. I don't know exactly what that would be, but it could be kind of interesting.
Yeah, I could get that would be nice. Like, he's like standing above my pubes, pissing onto my dick.
Yeah.
That's actually fucking cool. And it, you know, reminds us that you still keep that childlike innocence and imagination that you first had when you were reading those Calvin comics, because you were able to sort of come up with a fun, creative way to have an adventure on your own body by making Calvin piss on your own dick.
And I keep that Calvin attitude of imagination and wonder with me now in the business. I'm not at all calculating or stressed or overthinking every single move I make in my career. I'm just sitting here going, open up my mind, let's go exploring, old buddy.
It's just about fun for you, which I've always admired, that you are not willing to fuck over literally anyone to get even an infinitesimal, immeasurably small amount ahead. You're not running sort of Terminator-like calculations by scanning the room with like a Terminator 2 vision of people's IMDb star meter in front of you saying, oh, who's the person that could someday be the most helpful to me? And inadvertently alienating anyone you've ever had a close relationship with.
If you don't have the Twitter followers written on the inside of your forearm with Sharpie when you go to a holiday party, like that kind of stuff, like I don't do any of that.
No, yeah, you don't do it, and I don't think you should, although a lot of people do, and it's a normal part of the business.
I take Calvin and Hobbes, and I just bring that into my life. I extrapolate it out to just live in that.
Yeah, yeah, I'm about Calvin and Hobbes, too, and that's why a lot of times I'll, at 3 a.m, text you when we haven't spoken in months, like a photo of us. From I don't fucking know
when I coached tantrum.
Just everybody.
Anyway.
What's up, Hayes?
I just kind of felt like I should jump in. Although,
thank you.
Not a lot more is happening here. We ran too much at the beginning of the sort of that was the idea going in, but it ended up being too much. Not for any like great reward.
Yeah, not able to really sustain the pace, and then not really able to contribute as much as you would because of the initial pace.
Right. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, well, that happens, and, you know, everyone forgives the Wendigaber. Sounds like he fell asleep, and what you can do is just sort of drill a hole in his skull and extract a lot of that hormone.
If he wakes up, just place some Supersat or some Salam on under his tongue. And show him an old video.
Okay.
Show an old video of him weightlifting, and remind him of the better times.
Mm-hmm. He deadlifted a keg. I remember him deadlifting kegs a lot. So you know that's something we could take a look at.
He's whispering about a salsiccia in his sleep, which is I'm glad I didn't bring up the Italian thing because I feel like that would have
that's
taken
soothing him.
Out of his
yeah.
Lot.
Yeah. Yeah. You take away that.
Yeah. Sorry about gabagool and stuff.
Hayes, you know, did you want to plug anything?
No, never.
I guess I would say if we're going to plug stuff.
We've never done that.
You know what I was going to do?
Can I plug something real quick?
Can I plug something real quick? My nose, because you friggin' Brett's laid one. No, but John, what do you want to say?
Check out the newspaper comics episode of High and Mighty.
Oh, yeah, that's doing really well.
It's great honestly tail end. Doing even better lately.
It's on the uptick.
I thought we had reached at sort of a peak, but no, it just keeps going. And
Brett, did you want to plug anything?
I want to plug my butt with this diarrhea.
That's not almost that doesn't make the exact fucking sense.
The one noun you chose as the predicate of that sentence was stupid. So incorrect.
That's so stupid.
You want to plug it with diarrhea?
So is it like
adobo? Like you want to use grass mixed with like diarrhea to make some sort of clay?
I mean, this is so gross.
Is
and I, we
Native
never
Americans?
Do this when John's not here, but it's like, freeze a jar
Brett
of diarrhea
off.
And
Brett
then you're...
Showing off.
Are you using diarrhea as sort of like a spackle? Like a loose
yes,
spackle?
Yes, like a cock.
Oh, okay. God. This again.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Hollywood Handbook is brought to you by Wolf Cool Productions, a subsidiary of Calvin and Hobbes. Ow, baby.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.